Be confident in what you say. Even if it's the wrong thing, just be confident.
Welcome to Hoop Nerds with Billy Kegler, presented by the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. We talk to coaches, athletes, and more to learn from their stories and apply learning lessons to improve each individual and stimulate growth for your program, team, staff, and self. Follow along as we explore success and failure en route to improving the game of basketball.
Coach Wellness, welcome to the Hoop Nerds.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I would like to learn a little bit about your history. Let's go back in time. Tell me about the first time you coached something, anything, and a memory that sticks with you from that.
For sure. So the first real coaching experience I had, I was a freshman in high school, and me and a junior girl were coaching the fifth grade team, just like the little community league team. And I just remember one day, they were just they're fifth grade girls. They were just messing around and laughing, and we were trying to talk, and they kept saying stuff. So finally I was like, keep talking, I'm gonna make you run. And one kid challenged me, and I made her run the stairs. I don't know how many times. I think she started crying, but it was gonna be my example, you know what I mean? I was like, talk back, see what happens type thing. So that was my first experience. We weren't the greatest team in the world, but we had a lot of fun. And coaching's never something that I really thought about. You know, I was just kind of helping out more than anything. And, but here we are.
So how did that transition occur from a very successful playing career into coaching?
Yeah, so like I said, the plan was never to coach. The plan was to go play overseas. And then maybe when I was done, see what kind of happens. But I got undercut on a layup partway through my senior year against Wright State. Went to shoot my free throw, and my knee just kept collapsing when I'd bend. And so I was like, something's wrong. So I had to finish out the season. I just took these ginormous injections. They said it wouldn't hurt anything. You know, I ripped off all the cartilage under my kneecap. And so I was like, do whatever you got to do so I can play. So I didn't practice. It kind of sucked, actually. I hate watching, which is why I didn't think I'd ever like coaching. But that injury kind of led me to more of a coaching role. Like at practice, you know, I was one of our senior leaders. I was our only returning starter my senior year. So, and I do a lot of talking. When I'm out on the floor, I do a lot of the talking. So
we call that play the game on your lips.
There you go. Right. I like that. And so I'd catch myself chiming in at practice type thing. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, you know, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. It's just part of the game. And after I was done with school, I got the opportunity to coach a 16U AAU basketball team for Wisconsin Academy. And like I said, at first I was like, oh, I hate explaining. I just want to do it. I want to show it myself. But I learned to love it. I absolutely learned to love it. Just helping kids develop and stuff. And that led me into, I do my own basketball training stuff back home too. And so I train 150 plus kids from four different states. So it's really cool. That training made me fall in love with more of the coaching, and then just Instagram and stuff like that. Just watching people teach certain skills and all that. I was I really like this. I wish I would have had a trainer as a child. You know what I mean? But I'm from South Wayne, Wisconsin. That's just not a thing. And so I was I want to be that. I want to give that court access, you know? And then coaching jobs just kind of started showing up when I least expected it. I was at Darlington first for their varsity girls. I got a call, and I want to say it was end of November, and their head coach was pregnant with twins. She was having some complications, and so she was gonna have to step away, so they asked me to step in as the interim head coach, and I did it, and I actually loved it. And then they asked me to come back or to apply for the actual job, and I didn't know if I wanted to still, because I'm a Blackhawk kid. You know, Blackhawk was kind of the goal. And but a boys' job opened up at Warren, Illinois for eighth grade boys. And I was I trained some of those kids. And I was I kind of want to see what I like better, boys or girls basketball. And I got offered the boys' Warren varsity job the next year. And then Argyle girls, the day I was going to either decline or accept, I got a text from their coach saying, I'm leaving. If you want the job, it's basically going to be yours, just apply. And so I did, and it kind of showed that my heart was with girls basketball. I love that you can yell at boys, and they kind of just take it. but I love how coachable girls are. So.
So did you respond to yelling as a player?
So I am one of 9 children. We got yelled at a lot as kids. We like to fight, and we're all very competitive. So my dad just chewed us new ones all the time. Like, as a coach, he coached us all. And so I like getting yelled at. Like, at Green Bay, Hannah Quilling, who's now the head coach at Stout, she was almost like my designated, like, calm the heck down, like, when I'd come out of the games type coach, you know. So I don't know. I like being yelled at, just like kind of tell me like what needs to be done and okay, let's do it. I don't take offense to it, you know. I like being yelled at.
So on the other side of the coin, when you have a kid who does not like being yelled at, how do you handle that?
That I really struggle with that. And I always just try to tell the kids, like, especially if I feel like it was a game I was yelling or a practice I was yelling at the end, I'm like, guys, like, just know if I'm quiet, that's when you should be worried. Like, if I'm going to chew you a new one, be happy because I care. But, like, if I just don't have time for you or, like, you know, like, you're a lost cause and I'm not saying anything, well, now you should be concerned, like, oh, I'm a lost cause, you know. So, I don't know. It's a balance for sure. And I never realized that because I always just thought everyone should be able to get yelled at. But I saw it at college where, you know, my coach had to kind of ease up on some girls. And it kind of makes you mad because it's like, just chewed me a new one, chew her a new one. But I get it. Like, not everyone responds to that.
All things come with time and maturity. It's like when you're playing, the more you do it, the game actually slows down for yourself. So I'm curious, when competing, are you driven by the fear of losing or the joy of winning?
I like that question. I actually really like that question. This is how I'm going to answer this. I hate losing more than I like winning. And especially it depends who I'm losing to. Like, certain siblings, I have one brother. So 8 girls, 1 boy. And I'm better at him than everything. And I'm going on record, Troy. Like, that's for real, right? But the kid can get under my skin. Like, we're golf. He'll start chirping me. And I'm like, are you kidding? And then, like, he'll start doing better than me. He's, like, not even trying. And I'm like, that just drives me nuts. You know? And it's like, I would rather, like, if I win, great. But if I lose, oh my gosh, there goes my day. Like, that's probably where I struggle the most in coaching, is like the whole losing part. Oh, it absolutely kills me. And I'm trying to get better. Like, that's my weakness, is losing. I can't let stuff go. Because it's like, how could I have been better? How could I have prepared us better? And then I just kind of let it eat at me. But in a way, I think it makes me a better coach because I care so much.
You make the adjustments you need to make.
Yeah, for sure.
So, young coaching career. But what have you changed in that span of time because you learned something or you were presented new information?
For sure. I think the biggest one is I have always absolutely hated zone defense. Like, I just, from a young age, it was like, that's lazy. Like, that's lazy. Guard your spot. Like, and I won't teach, like, my youth kids the zone. I really won't. I do, like, all the youth stuff at Argyle, and no. Because I feel like, get good at man, and then there is a place for zone defense. And like the 1-3-1, and like I look at like the buzz and stuff like that, like such like great defenses. But to me, I'm like, I'm a man girl. Like, you will run a man, you will run a man well, and once you show me you can run a man, let's run a zone. But I ate my own words this year. I came into Argyle very senior heavy, and since 6th grade they've only ran a zone, and I was trying to teach them this man, and I lost patience. And they understood the zone really well, and, like, they did well in it. And I'm like, fine. I was like, I'm going to swallow my pride, and we're going to run this zone. And, you know, it worked out well for us. We won a regional championship this year. Like I said, zone, it's not as bad as I thought it once was. So I guess that's the main takeaway from that.
I'm guessing you're still primarily man defense.
Oh, big time. That's what I'm teaching today at 6. Green Bay's man defense, which in a way is kind of a zone. But it is a man. Like, it's 100% a man with a lot of zone concepts.
Can you elaborate just a little bit and we'll pull some nuggets out of it?
Yeah, for sure. So
what is the first concept you're teaching your team about your defense?
As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just a Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just a Game Impressions and Just a Game Live. Just a Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just a Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just a Game has to offer, check them out at justagamefieldhouse.com.
Positioning. Yep, so like today you'll see that. So I always kind of explain it first in like a five out setting. So everyone's in a five out. So where you would stand if the ball's at the top. So, you know, we have our ball, we have our gap, and then our rail, rail. Then now if the ball swings to a wing, so now the girl that was in the gap, now you're on the ball. And now a girl that was on the ball, you're in the gap. Girl that's two passes away, you're now in a spot we call the high eye, which is right in the middle of the lane, like at the free throw line. And now if you're the furthest pass away, you're backside. And if you're one pass away, like I said, that other girl, she would be the gap. So in a way, you're running to a spot, which is like a zone. However, if someone cuts through, you cut through with them. Or if there's like a screen, you talk through that screen and you can stay with, you can get through, but it takes a ton of talking. But like I said, it's like a zone for the sake that wherever the ball moves and wherever your girl is dependent upon where you move.
Okay, because I'm ignorant, where is the rail?
The rail is the lane line. Yep. So I just, Coach Borseth at Green Bay, he called it the rail, and I just steal everything he says. Like some of these girls look at me like I'm crazy. Like some of the screens, I'm like, that's a chocolate. Like a double stack screen. They're like, what in the heck is a chocolate?
It's stacked like a Hershey bar.
There you go. You get it.
So when you start adding in other steps, whether it's four out, one in and cutting or an overload triangle, how does that change the steps that you're implementing for them?
Yeah. So honestly, it's all taught in practice, like through a shell. So like today, again, I'll put them in a horn set. So I'll have the one on the top, two on the elbows, two in the corners. And so you're two in the corners, you know, you basically have that short corner because you're going to be our help. And then we're going to defend those elbows like three quarters. That way it's just not an easy pass. But the girl guarding the top, you have to talk, because if she dribbles off that, well, now you two have to talk and just either switch it out, or we call it a red at Green Bay, like red over, red under, like skinny it. Like there's so many different terms, you know what I mean? And but at the end of the day, everything comes down to communication. If you do not talk through that, you might as well get a cushion, because you're going to sit next to Coach Borseth the whole time.
All right. So nobody can see this but me. But as you're talking about this, you're looking up and using your hands and you're visualizing this in your brain.
I do.
And not everyone can do that like you and I can. So when you have players who don't have that ability, how do you connect and communicate with them?
Yep. It's so hard. So literally last night I put this in with my sixth grade girls. Never have played basketball a day in their life. Some of them. And I'm like, to me, I have no patience, right? And so I literally just show them. I'm like, guys, I just kind of give the concepts. If I'm one pass away, where am I? Gap. If I'm two passes away, where am I? High eye. Three, here. Then we have a backside spot that's a little different. And so what I do is I just yell at them really loud. I'm like, so if you're not there, I'm going to yell at you and be like, Brooke, like, where were you supposed to be? And then, you know, they kept going like, high eye, like whispering. And I'm like, no. I said, even if that is the right spot, you need to yell that, because the more that you say it, it'll be like, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to be here. Like a lot of these girls are like, like whispering. And I keep telling them that, like, be confident in what you say. Even if it's the wrong thing, just be confident. And if you see somebody else like in the wrong spot, tell them, be that leader on the floor. And so a lot of it, I think, just comes down to like repetition. And then once you get that repetition and like I said, you say it in your head, it's like, okay, like I get it now. And I always kind of scare them into being like, don't be the one on the court that's like the weak link. You know what I mean? Like you're the liability out there. And then I think they take it a little to heart, especially girls. It's like, well, I don't want to be the worst one on the floor or the one that lets everybody down. And so then I think they listen a little harder, but I think they're scared I'm going to make them run and stuff. So just scare them a little bit.
Ultimately, you're coaching confidence, and it's the verbal cue part. And I always say, fake it until you make it.
With my daughter.
I love that.
All right, you've mentioned a few coaches. I'm curious if you can tell me one coach or a mentor that you've had that gave you a lesson that you continually use.
Yeah, so I would say that mentor for me is my assistant coach from Green Bay, Coach Sarah Bronk. She's been with the program like forever. And she was there with Ballant, and now she's here with Borseth, you know. But anyway, with Bronk, she is like my voice of reason. You know, I am very fly off the hinge. Like, I'm your Bobby Knight coach. Like, I'm going to throw a chair on the floor because I'm a spaz, right? But like, she is very much like, let's think about this. Like, let's lay everything out and like make a decision from there. Like, the other day I had like a personal like conundrum. So I called her and I was like, I need your advice. And so every time I need advice, I like go to her, you know? And a lot of the times in my head, before I even call her, I think, what would Bronk say? You know, like, what would she tell me in this situation? So like, even outside of basketball, she's just like a life mentor to me, for the sake where it's like I said, she's my voice of reason. Like, for example, my little sister got hit by a car a couple years ago, whatever. And I was just like shook because I saw it. Like, she was fine. She's fine. She got up. But I was like eating at myself, and I'm not one to express my feelings by any means. And so I actually called her and I was like, I saw this, like, I don't know. I can't shake it, you know? And she's just one of those people that, like I said, is my voice of reason. And like, she's one I could come to and like kind of call her out, be like, I don't like that you're doing that, you know? And then she'd be like, well, what don't you like about it? Like, how can we fix it, type thing? And it's like, I need to be more like that, not just like, you bothered me, so I'm going to punch you, type thing. You know what I mean? So 100% Coach Sarah Bronk from UW Green Bay.
The biggest part is recognizing their weaknesses. And you referenced Bob Knight there, and he always said, play to your strengths. Shooters shoot, passers pass, screeners screen. Go from that route, but also understanding in life, we don't always have that option.
Yep.
Last question to get you out of here with, non-basketball related. If you open a refrigerator and you look inside, what one item inside that refrigerator best identifies with who you are as a person and why?
This is easy for me, actually. And everyone that knows me is going to know this answer. It's ketchup. First off, I'm obsessed. It goes on everything. Like, everyone thinks I'm a weirdo. I put it on like my chicken Alfredo. I put it on, you know, my mac and cheese. Like, that one's not as weird. Just like anything that I could, I'm a dipper, but ketchup is like my go-to. And I think it ranks above other condiments because I like to look at ketchup as like, this is a very me answer, right? It's a fruit. A tomato is a fruit or a vegetable. No, it's a fruit, right?
It can be either.
Yeah, see, there you go. I like that right there. So to me, it's like, this is healthy. You know, I'm eating my fruits and vegetables right now. You don't get that with ranch. I get there's a ton of salt in ketchup. But that's like a very like gen answer. Like, if you asked any of my teammates, any of my friends, they'd be like, that is such a you answer. Like, trying to justify ketchup being healthy, even though it's like loaded with salt, and by saying it's a fruit or a vegetable. So that's very me.
All right, I have to ask a follow-up. What's the best brand of ketchup?
Everyone's going to think I'm going to say Heinz, but you people are wrong. All my Heinz fans, nothing wrong with it. Number two, for sure. You walk into an Aldi and you get that Berman's ketchup. There's nothing like it, I tell you what. Heinz, it's just a bigger name. Berman's, better taste.
You heard it here first. Go get it, test it out, give us some feedback. Coach Wellnitz, thanks for coming on the Hoop Nerds and sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I am very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at Dr. Dish B-Ball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase.